Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and this is Elite of the Week, the show where we power rank all the AEW wrestlers 1 through 10 from AEW Dynamite. We have 10 wrestlers to get through, but before we get into all the blood and all the guts, let me first introduce my co-hosts. First up, he is the mayor of New Amsterdam. It's Flo Bo Boyce.
Hey, blood and guts, blood and guts, blood and guts. Psh, psh, psh. What's up, Jack? I'm back, baby. Can you believe it?
It's back. Man, you got that shot. You're looking good. You know who else we got with us, though? We've got the law doctor himself. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Roger Corral. Roger, how are you, buddy?
I am doing well because I got some blood and I got some guts. Blah.
Blah. For a year, we've been doing the blah. And now it's finally here, the blood and the guts. And hey, I think if I may share the news, are we all fully vaccinated? This is a three-man vaccinated team.
Hey,
the three vax crew, baby.
Yes.
3 minutes and we out of here.
I officially joined the vaccinated team just yesterday. I got my shot. I'm all done. Now I just got to wait that 2 weeks for it to like settle into my system here. I'm a little sore, a little ache. Well, I was. It's kind of past now. This morning.
Okay.
Flobo. You summed it up perfectly. It's like being hungover. I felt hungover this morning. Feeling a little bit better now, though.
Not pleasant, but definitely manageable.
Yes.
But I'm living.
Yeah, that's. So we're going to do something just a little bit different today. We're going to reformat a little bit. Before we get into the show, there's a couple of news items I wanted to chat with you guys about. The first one, some news that I thought was really big. The one and only Andrade himself has called out Kenny Omega, wanting to have a match for that Triple A title. We talk about the forbidden door. For me, this feels like the biggest door getting kicked open. Now, Flobo, I know you are a massive Andrade fan. Does this feel like a big deal to you?
It's a huge deal. A lot of questions are being answered, right? What does Andrade look like post-WWE? Of all the hoopla and hype about Kenny Omega being the Impact in TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Jeff Allah was kind of, not say forgotten, but was kind of like, oh, yeah, too. So that's going to be answered. And three, I mean, here you have a situation where there's so many promotions coming together, almost like Crisis on Infinite Earths, right? It's going to be this giant thing, and eventually it's going to be like one title. For all genders, all weight classes, it's whatever you are, it's one title.
That's my favorite. I want everyone to fight for one title. Like I say, I want to put everyone into a big jar, shake them all up, and make them fight. Now, Roger, we've only really ever talked about AEW. We've never talked about some of the people over at the WWE. How do you feel about Andrade versus Kenny Omega being a potential thing?
I'm excited for this. I think that's one of the cool aspects of Kenny Omega going around. It feels like they want to do the old territory days, you know, outside of the WWE. That's what it feels like. We have a champion that's traveling the country. He's traveling the earth and, you know, he's international. And I feel like that brings a lot of value. I think Andrade is going to bring a lot of value if he ends up in AAA or if he ends up in AEW. I'm excited for that.
So something else that got people all astir with possible matchups, rumor going around, and look, I'm not a journalist. I don't know. I just read Twitter and Wikipedia, the best news sources. Daniel Bryan, apparently contract free, a free agent, could go anywhere. Now, if I'm tilting my hand a little bit, if I'm showing you my cards, I think he's a lifer at WWE. I don't think he's really going to go anywhere else. But let's play a little bit of fun what ifs. Roger, do you want to see Daniel Bryan anywhere else, or what would you like to see from Daniel Bryan if he didn't go to WWE again?
Yeah, man, that's not fun. What are you doing? Of course I want to see him everywhere. Could you imagine Kenny Omega after he's done destroying whoever's next, and then you get the final countdown playing? Oh, take me, Lord, my goodness. Or could you imagine him in Ring of Honor taking on Rush and Dragon Lee and maybe Andrade joins? There's so much potential here, man. There's so much talent out there.
Yeah. Now, Flobo, you're a Daniel Bryan fan. Do you want to see him out and about?
I am torn because, like you, I do feel that Daniel Bryan is a WWE lifer. I mean, his wife there had a family because of it. Like the Yes Movement has bled into every other kind of sport. But as a performer himself, and in some ways, granted, like my level performance, like here, he's like up here. I think he deserves another Bryan Danielson match. Not sure where or when or why, but to make that full circle, that'd be kind of cool to see the American Dragon one more time. I am not sure if WWE will ever do that. And then it's like a Beast from the East 2 or something. But if that doesn't happen, I'd probably have him as a lifer for sure.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you now. In a fun world, I would love to see him in all these different promotions. There's so many matchups I would love to see happen. But I think he might have a couple of matches outside of WWE, but I don't predict it would be at an AEW or Impact or anything like that. It'd probably be like at Ring of Honor, or I hear rumblings of them working with MLW or that kind of stuff. I think it'd be one of those places more so than the big rival AEW, but who knows? I don't know. It's fun. I'd like to think that it's going to be somewhere fun and exciting and splashy and different, but I think it'd also be fun for him to be in WWE. I like WWE as well. That's right. I said it on an AEW show. I don't care. I like all wrestling. Now let's get into the, as I always say, the meat and potatoes of the show.
Best meal of the day.
The best meal of the day. Fill up, buddy. It's going to be a good one. Flobo, why don't you go ahead and explain how the show works?
And this is the first time on Lead of the Week. Thank you and welcome, because we're all vaccinated. One more time, I got to flex on that. Basically, it's like this. He's like, oh, my arm, it hurts.
It's so sore.
Jack Farber and Roger and I rewatch every week of AEW Dynamite, and we're going to rank, or Jack ranks, the top 10 wrestlers, tag teams, or just characters that appear that, in his mind, did the best work. And it's going to be worth points, almost like F1, where the person or thing in top spot gets 10 points, 9 points for 2, and so on and so forth, where at the end of the year, Jack and Jack alone will count up all the numbers to determine what is the most elite of the year. But it's not just about wrestling matches. Sometimes there's certain categories too, like being best dressed, or my personal favorite, that farmer's market. But watch out! Another point of being the dud of the week. That's a person that was a complete flippity flappity flap. And that is the lead of the week every week.
I should have you talk about the show every time. You do a better job than I do. In fact, do you want to just give the 10 top people? I think you do a better job than I do.
Number one, Christian.
This was one of Christian's better weeks.
Yikes.
So I think that sums it up pretty well. We're getting pretty deep into the show already. Let's go ahead and start. At number one, it's MJF. As soon as he walked through the cage door, the crowd wanted to see his head on a platter, but tonight they would be denied. His team, in beautiful matching gear, with his boots having that exceptional Burberry print accent, he was beaten, he was bloodied, but he was never broken, even as the ring around him was. As he's done his whole career, he stepped outside of the box, this time known as the two-ring cage, and crawled to the top, luring his rival Chris Jericho to his perch like a moth to a flame, and waiting for the right moment to put that dynamite ring on and get the advantage, taking Jericho hostage and forcing the old guard to surrender before throwing Le Champion off the top to the death trap and covered with Cardinal, looking down on the former champion, saying the words, "Thank you," as a perfect inner circle back to Jericho himself, demanding a thank you in the infant days of AEW and reminding us that MJF would say the words when he took Jericho's spot as the foundation of all elite wrestling. Roger, we've been talking about AEW since the very first episode. Does MJF earn this top spot tonight?
Yeah, tonight was his night, man. What more could you ask for? My goodness, what a night for him. Like, you end the show with a bloody face, knocking out the first AEW champion off of a cage, standing supreme over everyone else. My goodness, of course that's the number one guy this week. I will say, I think he should have been a little more dramatic with his throw, because it reminded me of Jamie throwing Bran off of the castle in Game of Thrones when he got caught banging his sister. But
spoiler alert.
But I feel like he should have, you know, it should have been a little more dramatic. But besides that, you know, the guy got the job done.
Flobo, I feel like we argue a lot, but you'd be hard pressed not to put MJF in the top spot this week.
I don't know. My number one was Michael Nakazawa. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, MJF did it. He was standing tall. He was wearing the crimson mask, brother. It had the wrestling. It was a wrestling thing and being the main event, but definitely a character thing for MJF being able to hit that next level. Granted, it did seem very Shakespearean the way he did it, but that's what makes it kind of fun. So why not MJF number one?
There are so many moments from this match for MJF particularly that were just images that you can tell will be seen forever, like with him sitting on top of the cage, holding his hand up covered in blood, the Blood and Guts logo behind him. I thought this whole thing was great. You know, I saw online, something I need to address is on Twitter, a lot of people didn't like the camera angle when Jericho fell and maybe didn't look like it was as hard of a landing as it could have been. Personally, for me, I still liked it. It didn't matter to me. I get the criticism, but for me, it was still a moment that told a story. It got the point across. It still did a good job. Flobo, you're a story guy. Am I fair in saying that?
I mean, yeah. What do people want? Like, thumbtack? Like, come on. Like, you can't stop gravity. Like, what are you talking about? Look, I can tell you one thing. If you made a giant pillow fort and threw me on it of a two-story building, yes, I will survive, but it would still hurt because I'm not built to be thrown places. Come on.
Yeah. Now, Roger, any critiques from this? I'm trying to find a thing to not like about MJF at the top here just for the sake of conversation. But, I mean, I feel like this is just a slam dunk. I think you'd be hard-pressed to argue anyone else.
I think it was paced nicely. It felt like one of those the original War Game matches. Personally, I feel like the Undisputed Era to me has like changed the dynamic of how good these matches should be. But this felt like a nice old school classic. And MJF felt like the old school classic villain at the end. You know, you have your workhorses in the beginning. You have Jericho and MJF topping it off. MJF did a great job, man.
Yeah, speaking of workhorses, by the way, the real workhorses is everyone who's joining us in the chat and listening to us live. Dylan Matthews, Mike Wexler, Scrawny Strange.
YOLO! What up, baby?
Yeah, you changed your name. Thank you guys so much, Charlene, in the chat. Thanks so much for joining us. If you're listening later, thank you for listening as well. Of course, I always have to ask because it's the most important thing of all podcasting and doing shows. Hit the like button, leave a comment, subscribe, and share with your friends. If you're listening on iTunes, give us a 5-star review. If you're not listening on iTunes, go into iTunes and give us a 5-star review. I'm not too proud to beg. We could use a few more 5-star reviews. Just go do it already, would ya? So, anyways, let's go ahead and move on. This is where things are going to get a little dicey between us all. I think this is where some fights are going to break out. But I stand by my decisions here. Number two is SCU. They got a win against three other tough tag teams to set themselves up as the number one contenders to the AEW World Tag Team Championships and the Young Bucks. If they win, they'll be the tag team champions. If they lose, they will never be a tag team again. So we're either going to see next week, because of what happened, the last time the Bucks are champs or the last time SCU team together. And for me, when you put that kind of steak on the grill, you cook yourself up a top three spot in the power rankings. Roger, do they deserve to be this high?
I don't even have them in my top 10, man. I feel like...
Nice.
I think maybe it's a bit unfair. I feel like I associate Christopher Daniels with wrestlers like Kurt Angle, where they're just so dynamic and so good and so crisp in the ring. And at some point, they're not. And I just can't see Christopher Daniels the same way anymore. And to me, that team is just not as exciting. It's not as spicy. I like my food spicy. I like my steak spicy. And this isn't doing it for me. So good for them. They'll get the win. I hope they're done next week, and we'll see.
Flobo, this is one of those things. Like, the match here, obviously, all of our attention was on Blood and Guts. But to me, long-term implications here are huge for SCU and the tag team division, which is something that AEW really kind of leans on. Do you think the fact that the stakes are now so high for them that it earns them this spot, or am I off my rocker?
I need an answer to what kind of spices go with a steak. Like, it should be just a salt and pepper, bro. Like, why are you spicing up a steak? What are you?
I'm Mexican, and today is Cinco de Mayo.
Say no more, fam. You can't do anything with that. Like, oh, okay. All right. Well, please don't get me canceled. No, you're absolutely right, Jack. The thing is, I don't necessarily disagree with SCU being number two because it's an AEW tag team division is top tier and SCU did it, even though we haven't seen them as often. I just thought that in this case, you would have had like 10 participants, 1 through 10 from the same match. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's me being crazy, but yeah, I think it's fine. I think it's totally fine. As long as they're higher than the Young Bucks, I never will give them any points on my show.
Do you think, Roger, do you think that they're going to win next week, or do you think this is going to be the last match of SCU?
No, I think SCU should have been done a few months ago, man. This is it. Just put them out.
Wow. So you think the Bucks beat them handedly next week?
Yeah, this is a future. Like I said, no one's paying to see Christopher Daniels and Kaz. Like, that's it. We're good. They had a good run. Good for them.
I love Christopher Daniels and Kaz. Flobo, what's your prediction? You think they win, or you think they win and continue as a team, or do you think that the ride is over for SCU?
The ride's over, SCU. I think they should win it. I think, honestly, from a writing standpoint, it opens up a lot more storytelling things to have the Young Bucks not be the champions. But the thing is, it's been a crazy habit, especially with the Young Bucks, that they'll just have these matches where, now I won't say things are predictable because wrestling's a sport, but you have an inkling going in they're going to dominate. I think that's going to happen the next time they meet the ring.
I think SCU's going to win. I'm gonna predict it. I'm gonna hang some onions here. I think that the SCU wins.
Don't do that. And
SCU is gonna win. I think, look, they're gonna take it. But this is the thing that's always been weird to me is this whole. It's not the first time it's happened, but this whole the next time we lose, I retire or we break up or one of those things, and it seems silly to me because even if they lose, they're on this like 15 match win streak. So if you're 15-1, you break up. That's insane. If this was a football team, you'd be one of the best teams of all time, you know, having a 15 win streak. This is crazy. That doesn't make sense to me. Like, maybe you start that way, but like after you get the streak going, eventually, like, hey, this would be silly to break up now. We're killing it. We're on a roll.
You're absolutely right. And a lot of times that stipulation gets like kind of reversed. But a lot of people that did that and retired kind of did that. I mean, cool left. Also, I mean, you
know? This happens in sports all the time, guys. Like someone wins a championship or they're on the verge and then the owners do a stupid trade and then it all goes downhill. It happens.
Blows up the nucleus. Yeah.
So what you're saying is Christopher Daniels is the Michael Jordan of AEW.
That wasn't even remotely close to what I was saying. Actually,
yeah. Bold claims, Roger.
Maybe the tunic, the Tony Kukoc.
So moving on, number three is Santana and Ortiz. When they walked out with the dead president's face paint, they immediately got a spiritual win from me. But more than that, if you listened to when they entered the cage, both of them, the crowd did what a show called Dynamite promises, and that means they exploded. Ortiz was an early match hero and Santana looked cold as hell. Uranagi suplexing the piss out of Cash Wheeler, bringing in chairs, stabbing people with forks. Of all the people in this match, Proud and Powerful seemed the most comfortable in a scene that felt like a prison riot. So comfortable, in fact, it almost makes me uncomfortable knowing just what they might be capable of. Flobo, Santana, and Ortiz were on the losing team tonight, but it felt like this was their match when things were really going. Top three, is that fair?
I am still floored that you're a dead president's fan. What a really deep Jack Palmer cut. You like Gexapos in the 90s? Are you a Boys in the Hood dude? Set it off? Like, what? No, I mean, look, man.
That part Jack on the weekends, man.
I know, man. He's all like tatted up with this. No, look,
if I take off the suit, I've got all these.
I know. That's why he has to cover up. Like I said, this Blood and Guts match, even though it was very similar to another match we won't mention, or we might, has its own different thing. It was new and fresh. It was different. So any participant in this match could have been an easy top five, if not top 10. And so I am okay with that. Or Santana and Ortiz being a top three? Yes, because even though they're on the losing team, they did find a way to shine out in an individual effort as a unit inside this team. So a lot of upside for them. Top three, why not?
Yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head there with they found a way to shine with 10 people in a match. Roger, this is a team, again, they lost, but like I said, they seemed right at home in that match. Do you like them this high?
Yeah, they looked really comfortable. I'm actually surprised there wasn't more biting on their end. I forgot. MJF was biting, man. Like, these people, like, there was intense in there. I feel like Santana Ortiz looked spectacular. I will say, I'm not sure if I like the prison jumpsuit gimmick. It seems like a weird thing for me. Yeah, I just saw Paddington and Paddington 2 this weekend. And Paddington, they sent Paddington to prison.
Wait, what? Jack doesn't watch those non-gangster films, Roger. Can you explain what Paddington is?
Now that I know Paddington goes to prison, we'll see.
Okay, what is that?
You know, like, I feel like, I was like, oh, okay, we're going to go out and rock a jumpsuit. And then the same thing, I'm watching Paddington, and he's like, they send him to prison. Like, prison is not a joke, guys. What are you doing?
No, it's not a joke. It's a pretty serious place. Weird that Blood and Guts led to Paddington 2 talk. I can transition for most things, but that's a pretty tough transition there.
I dare you.
Paddington's got some style of his own, which leads me to...
Well done!
That's correct.
Woo!
This is the best dressed part of the show, where we pick the person dressed best, and there was a lot to choose from tonight, whether it be prison outfits or face paint. But tonight, the best dressed was Kenny Omega. He had a white jacket on, which can be hard to pull off, but it's not the jacket or the pants or the shoes or any of the other frivolous stuff that made this guy the best dressed today. It was the accessories. Four of them, to be specific: the AAA title, the TNA title, the Impact title, and the AEW Heavyweight Championship of the World. You can gussy up all you want, but nothing looks better than gold. Flobo, I know you hate it when I give this award to Kenny Omega, but come on, when you're decked out like that, it's hard not to be the best dressed, right?
Sophie's choice, because I'm not going to the Bucks either. I'm bigger than the Bucks, I am Kenny Omega. And let's be clear, the Impact title and the TNA title were unified beforehand. Does that really count then?
Still? Hey, no, don't do that, man. I gotta know.
They were unified. Does that count?
I didn't see you complain when Ultimo Dragon had all those titles and they all counted for one title. Come
Ultimo
on.
Dragon's a different class. How dare you, sir? I'm just saying.
I'm about Sophie's choice. I don't know whether to agree with you on that comment, Flobo, or
I said I made it vague enough so you could do either or.
Yeah.
No, I think, why not? I mean, it was pretty fun. It stuck out, and you can't be gold. And I think one of our former guests is a title belt guy. He got all the titles, so why not?
Yeah. Now, Roger, I know you were looking at the Young Bucks today and how they were dressed, and it was hard not to give it to them. I'll be honest. How do you like Kenny Omega getting the award with all the belts?
Kenny looked fly, man. That looked like the type of suit to, like, get a little blood on it to show people what you're all about. And he's rocking the gold with his assistant, Nakazawa. Like, what more could you ask for? That was beautiful.
By the way, Nakazawa this close to getting the award himself, because he was holding the belts. And I was thinking, wow, he has all the belts and Orange Cassidy sunglasses on all at the same time. That's some Infinity Gauntlet stuff right there. Talk about collecting. I mean, having all of that all at once. But yeah, I mean, when you have the belts, it's hard not to say you're the best dressed, because they look great. My question is, which one do you put around the waist, you guys? I think he had the AEW belt around his waist, and obviously he's on AEW, so that makes sense. But just for funsies, which belt do you think looks the best? Which one do you put around the waist? The main showcase spot, if you have all those titles.
Ooh, I really want him to win the NWA title so he could add that and carry it on the side, a little 10 pounds of gold. But I think AEW always goes around the waist, man. I think that's the best one.
Yeah, I think size alone puts it there. But Flobo, what do you think?
I'm a firm believer that you wear the belt or where you're defending it on the waist. So like when we have Becky Two Belt, she wore the SmackDown title when she was in SmackDown, or the Raw title when she was at Raw. That's the way it should be.
So what if you're just having an appearance on the Today Show?
Oh, you hired an intern. What are you doing?
You get Nakazawa.
Yeah, you get Nakazawa. What are you doing?
Oh man. So that's good stuff. I agree. I like your analysis there, Flobo, with the whatever you're defending goes on the waist. I think that's a cool thought process. Unless it's the NWA title, in which case it's always carried to the side.
Right. Exactly.
That, Jason Mitchell, by the way, says Omega is the most overrated guy ever. He will never be Flair ever.
I mean, he's not wrong. Hear me out.
Don't encourage them.
No, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. One, Flair, Omega are two different things. Agreed or disagree?
I agree. Okay. Flair's my number one all time. So saying you'll never be Flair doesn't
Flair hurt. Is repetitive. So I mean, we're doing true analysis here, but whatever. Sure.
Look, we have fans. We're engaging with the fans, right? They come back and bring their friends. And most overrated guy ever, well, there's some people out there that say Omega is the best ever, and we all know that's up to interpretation. So by the simple logic of that, I would say he's top tier, one of the most overrated guys. Not a knock on the guy, just the way it is.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but I think to be overrated, the difference between how good you are and what your rating is needs to be a certain distance. And I think even if you don't think he's the best ever, he's not terrible. I don't think anyone says terrible. So I don't know, but I agree. I mean, like I said, Flair's I think he's the all-time greatest. So of course I'll never be Flair.
Well, he's in Car Shield at commercials, of course.
Duh. I mean, when you're in a Car Shield commercial, trust me, Car Shield cars go farther, by the way.
That's how I know you guys aren't just doing spark notes. Good job.
That's what Car Shield is, man. I Google it, or I forget, and I do something else. I'm not figuring out what Car Shield is.
They are an amazing sponsor of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. We love them, and I recommend everyone check them out. They are a great way to keep you from having to pay those unwanted car bills. Number four is Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. First, Scorpio Sky goes after Sting and says he's the franchise now, bitch. And guess what? He's right. Listen, titles will always be around, but the icon might not be. So Scorpio Sky shows just how smart he is getting his shots in now. But then Ethan Page follows it up by taking some personal shots at Darby Allin and highlighting how he's roughed them up in the past. But they both end it with the perfect "what have you done for me lately" by taking Darby Allin out, beating him up, and tossing him down some concrete stairs, telling me that these are two guys that are not to be taken lightly. Roger, how do you feel about Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page? Not a lot of matches on Dynamite, but they've been featured a bit.
Well, first off, you know damn well Darby Allin was disappointed that he didn't get thrown all the way down because that man loves pain. Yeah. Second of all, I thought Ethan Page was about to disclose a crap load of HIPAA laws. Like, my goodness, he told us all about what he did to Darby Allin in the past. They went after Sting and called him a mosquito, which, by the way, mosquitoes are a pivotal, important part of our ecosystem. And, you know,
mosquitoes are really pivotal.
Mosquitoes are really resilient. And no, they killed it with whatever time they had. And, you know, they destroyed Darby Allin. Good for them.
Yeah, I like that you're giving a shout out to mosquitoes. That will be a part of the mosquitoes podcast later this week. We'll talk more about that.
Finally.
And then, Flobo, do you like these guys here?
I had them in the mid table, if you will. Four is a little high, but nothing else to complain about. I think they did a pretty good job. And while we were really trying to figure out what was the point of Scorpio Sky to break from a tag team and grand tag team, but doing pretty well.
Yeah. So I liked them there. That's why I put them there, obviously. Of course I liked them there.
I disagree with that.
we'll march along here. At number five, it's Wardlow. Came in looking like a superstar monster he's always been, claiming an entire ring as his own and fighting off Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz all at once. At one point, he threw Sammy so high he almost hit the ceiling. And even when the chairs and weapons got involved, he continued to fight anyway, showing even more signs of being a big problem for anyone he wants to be a big problem for. Flobo, I know you've been day one with Wardlow. Did you like him tonight?
Yes, but
why are you hesitant?
I'm hesitant because I'm like, don't do this to me, AEW. Don't show me flashes of brilliance. It could be awesome to be integral to storylines and not use them. This has been one of the things that I get so mad about because he's so great. He's the closest thing to a homegrown talent. He's strong. He's fast. A lot of character work. Has a nice backstory the way he's working with MJF. Just give him the ball. Just once. See where he can go.
What about the let it simmer, let it marinate, so when it happens, it feels bigger?
I like it. And I felt that way in 2020 and in 2019. Come on. It's cooked. Let it go.
It's like a fine wine, Flobo. Roger.
Vintage 2020. That's it. Last year, that's it.
Vintage 2020. That sounds like it's going to be a terrible bottle of wine based on 2020. Roger, do you think he did enough to stand out in the crowded field of blood and guts?
He looked phenomenal in there, man. I feel like the cinematography for this match was beautiful when both sides like went at it and they charged in the middle. It almost felt like a Quentin Tarantino movie with all the blood, with all the guts everywhere. And I think he was one of the big highlights out of the cinematography from that. All the angles with him, all of the shots of capturing him. He looked like a monster. He looked great. He got clocked in the head with a steel chair and it did nothing to him. Like, he looked like a complete beast out there. Good for Wardlow.
He showed me signs of old Brock Lesnar, the way everyone seemed to try to take him down and no one could. And he was just picking people up and throwing them around. He stumbled a little bit picking up Jake Hager, but I mean, Jake Hager is a big fella.
So who wouldn't?
Yeah. It came at him kind of weird. Like, as he was getting hit from Santana and Ortiz, and Jake Hager went at him, he still was able to sort of hoist Jake Hager, which I think is more of a, it's more impressive than anything else, if you ask me. So good on him there. I think, you know, like I said, as Flobo says, I feel like he's been a star in the making for a while now, but I think when that moment finally happens and it finally clicks, it's going to be massive because we've been waiting for it instead of it being immediate. Right. You know what I mean? And it's possible that maybe we're waiting for crowds to be there for it, because we did see some hints of dissension back when MJF was sort of acting presidential, if we all remember that. Speaking of acting presidential, at number six, it's Cody Rhodes made his return to the in-ring action, putting down the most recent thorn in his side, man who's been on a roll as of late, in QT Marshall. Had some great tombstone reversals, and even when the crossroads failed to do the job, he didn't let it slow him down, and he was able to slap on the figure four and seal the deal. Roger, now, QT Marshall hasn't exactly been a world champion, but he has been on a roll lately. He has been doing his thing for a little bit. Getting a win over him tonight, was that enough to put him on the list?
Yeah, anytime Cody's in action, he belongs in my list. The man oozes charisma. The man's a star. I love little details. Maybe it's not a big deal for people. I feel like whenever you have a big feud and like someone really hates each other, and then the match actually happens and they take their time with like a grapple hold, I hate that. My dad used to turn off the TV when that happened. He's like, I'm not paying for this. Like, he would hate that. And Cody, you know, he didn't wait for the bell. He went straight for him. And that's the way it should be. I've been waiting for you to destroy QT Marshall for weeks. And that's what he did. It was phenomenal. It's beautiful. Yeah, it was great.
I think that, one, I like this. I agree with everything you just said. One of the things that I really liked about this matchup is that they gave it to us now. I don't think we needed to wait until May 30th. I don't know if we needed to wait for this to be drug out any longer. It felt like it ran its course and they sort of played it off and had the match the perfect timing. Flobo, I know you weren't very bullish on QT Marshall going into this. So how do you feel about the way this rivalry has sort of played out and now potentially being done?
Well, before I get to that, I just want to say, if you guys, this is the first time I'm watching Lee of the Week. This used to be from another show, another network. On the first episode that we had of that after show, there was a reference of Cody Rhodes being buff Bill Clinton and Jack. Back to Lenny. That's why he's an S tier host. Shout out to Jack. No, but the question, like,
classic episode, classic.
Yeah, it was. Straight the competition, man. Like, QT never seemed like he was a bit of a threat. It was okay. You gave him something to do. We loved it, but it was no doubt in my mind that it was going to happen. And when they did the flipping pile drivers, I was like, why is Cody picking up someone's dad? Like, what are we doing? But then Cody gets punched in the gut and turns to a British person. So sweet. You know what I mean? So that's the next story. I'm going to hear that more. So I like the fact that Cody's doing it. But I'm glad the QT Marshall stuff is pretty much done.
Yeah, I mean, look, is this a rivalry we'll be talking about in 20 years? No. But I think it's progressed in a way. It's been interesting. It's been fun. It's worked. And my favorite part is that it got us to a point where Flobo acknowledged a really killer transition that I don't think anyone else would have noticed. And I appreciate you, Flobo.
Hey! Good life.
Yeah, again, I don't know if it's something we'll talk about forever, but I thought it was good. I think it served its purpose. I think it was just done very well. It wasn't a world title rivalry, but it was executed really well, and I think that's why I put it here. Dylan Matthews, by the way, is saying that he thinks Cody Rhodes just shows up, buries the mid-card, and leaves.
Agreed.
I agree? Feel like... I got it.
No, I'm not trying to be negative. And I think that I understand why things happened in the beginning of the days of AEW where Cody's like, I don't want to be the guy that books himself all the time. And so I'm going to put myself to help out the other talent. But the thing is, he's just so big of a star that people are going to come and watch or tune in to see him win. And so if you can't have him as champion, have him chase a title or anything, you have to put in a position that you want him to be must-see. And he either has to do that by having a drawn-out storyline, which he did with the former with Mr. Brody Lee, who's dearly departed, or you're going to have these exhibition matches where he just destroys people. And I'm not saying buries the mid-card, because as you could tell in Dynamite and Elevation, there's a lot of mid-card to go around. But it has to be some kind of change in how you present Cody Rhodes, or else it does come off a little stale.
I mean, and Roger, I want to go to you after this, but I don't feel like it's buried. I feel like because of what's happened, QT Marshall was elevated more than buried. Losing to Cody Rhodes, I don't think is a bad thing. It's like losing to a major star. It doesn't hurt you to lose to him, but now it makes us say, well, QT Marshall hung in there with Cody Rhodes. He's pretty good. Roger, what do you think about Cody Rhodes burying the mid card, as Dylan says?
No, I agree with you. I don't think QT Marshall even belongs on an episode of Dynamite, but here he is, and you know, he's having a great match with Cody. I think Cody, it's a lose-lose situation. I think, you know, he's lost every major feud. He lost against MJF, he lost against Jericho, he lost against everyone. And at some point, like, you're still a huge star. I actually feel like they booked him so low, where like slowly people are not taking him as seriously. This is a huge name. This is a huge star. He should be having better matches. He should be having higher quality opponents. And I think for people to think that Cody doesn't belong in terms of where he's at, it seems a bit, I don't know, it seems weird to me.
I know in the chat, and this will be the last thing, Dylan says Cody Rhodes needs to turn and throw the world title rule and go for the title. I'm gonna disagree with you there, Dylan, because I think right now there's two things going against that. Is right now the guys on the other side of the tracks, there's too many of them and they're too good at what they do to really find a place for Cody over there. But also, I don't think anyone will ever boo Cody. I think they appreciate him putting together AEW too much for it to ever happen. I think even if he was to, you know, even if he was to join the Elite again right now, people would, like, they would love him for doing it. You know, I don't think it would ever really work. Real quick, do you guys have any thoughts on that aspect of Cody's future or him doing that?
I think it's unfair to someone that's prime to somehow write yourself away from being the world champion. But hey, if he has to turn heel to do it, then why not? I'm not saying it's stale. I think stale is something we use a lot in wrestling, as since we're kind of done with the character. But we haven't seen much of a change of this formula. And it could be great. I mean, I love the fact that Big Mac doesn't change its flavor. But at some point, as someone knows how good Cody is, you want to mix it up, right?
I agree with Jack. I don't think he could ever be booable. Like, this guy comes out with a massive booable. He comes out with a massive bust. He has a gross ass tattoo. He acts heelish all the time. And we still cheer for him and we still love him. I don't think this guy is booable, man.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't think he could do anything. I think if he did anything, he could go beat up Sue, Trent's mom, and we'd all be like, yeah, good for her, good for him. You know, I don't know. But, you know, speaking of bad things, someone had a bad week this week. It's the dud of the week. This is, you know, it's Dynamite. Everyone's supposed to explode, but sometimes Dynamite's a dud. This is the person who had a bad week. This week, the dud of the week is Darby Allin. On his own, he went after Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page and did a good job of it for a bit before getting beat up and having his face shoved into some Louis V's and then getting thrown down concrete steps. He also found out that next week he has to face Miro, of all people. After a string of great showings, this was a tough day for Darby Allin. Flobo, this was a show that saw someone get thrown off the top of a cage. Do you think Darby still had a worse night?
This is kind of like the Elite the Week paradox, because if Miro kills Darby next week and becomes a dud a second time, is that considered a title defense? Because frankly, he was a super dud today. And a good show where everyone put something in. Darby should have stayed in catering. He just stayed with his little Ecto Cooler High C and all of his snacks and not even bother going after Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page. What was he thinking? What was he thinking? That was also my dud as well. We're actually in unison for a change.
I mean, especially when you're friends with a guy who has a baseball bat at all times, Sting, why didn't you say, like, bro, let's go do this? Why did you go by yourself? Roger, was this the dud of the week? Was it Darby Allin?
Darby feels like 12-year-old me, like just coffin dropping off of random places. I lived in a trailer park. You throw yourself off the trailer park. You have a trampoline. Just throw yourself everywhere. Like, it literally feels like I'm watching an episode of Jackass every week with this guy. It's like, my name's Darby Allin. Welcome to Jackass. And then he throws himself down the staircase. Like, yeah, man, gotta be careful.
For the record, I think it's wildly entertaining. I just think I can't call it a good day when you get thrown down steps. And then Miro says, by the way, next week, I'm not going to let you forfeit. I'm going to beat you up and take your title. Totally. That's a rough night. You're gonna have a hard time going to sleep tonight, I think. and you're gonna have a pretty stressful week the rest of the week, knowing that you've got Miro staring down at you. Do you guys like the idea of Miro versus Darby? Do you think that's the right move for next week, Roger?
Sure. Again, let's take everyone out. Let's do it. I want to see SCU taken out next week. I want to see Darby taken out next week. Let's go, baby.
No one survives next week. Double or nothing is four people who are still alive. Flobo, there's been a lot of people saying that Miro has been wasting away in AEW. I disagree with that, but I listen to the people. I read the Twitters. I know. Do you think this is the right move for Miro?
Is the right move for Miro? Yes. Is Miro being wasted? Yes. Here's the curse of the best man in one of the most extended wedding storylines I've seen in a while in wrestling, if I'm being honest with you. It really comes down to what does he look like now? What's his place in the roster now? Is he going to be like a bruiser? Is he going to be a powerhouse? Is he going to be a monster? Is he going to be the guy who can smile and kick you in the face? And that seems to change week by week by week. Now, Darby Allin is someone who doesn't really express himself often, but he's really good at being someone who could be really indefensible or helpless. So now more than ever next week, we're going to see what this new Miro is, if it is a new Miro.
In the chat, we have a bunch of stuff going on. Jason Mitchell Hoggood, if I'm not pronouncing that right, Jason, let me know. Jason Mitchell Hoggood says, damn, Roger is against everybody. LOL. Funny
so
enough,
negative that Roger.
No, taxes are due next week, so I want everyone out next week.
Everyone's gone. Wait,
you pay the property taxes at the other place? We're not coming down, boys.
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Speaking of getting shut down, Number seven, Chris Jericho. He took a loss tonight, but he showed a lot of veteran savvy, bringing in his baseball bat and really leading his team in dominating fashion through most of the time he was in the match, choking Spears on the trussing and having his team literally tear the ring apart to inflict damage. In the end, he was held hostage, causing his team to quit. But the bright side here is his team quit, hoping to save him, which tells me there's still loyalty within the inner circle. Flobo, is that loyalty enough to be a silver lining putting Jericho at number seven?
What is loyalty in wrestling, Jack? For now, sure. I think Jericho did a lot of the character beat heavy lifting. Seven is great. But I still wonder what's going to happen with the inner circle. This is supposed to be the most dominant group, and they gave up on behalf of someone else. And you know, when it comes to professional wrestling, if someone quits for you, it's always a bad deal. Remember that King of the Ring match? I'm just saying. Throw in the towel? I'm just saying. Just saying.
You're right. It very rarely ends well when someone throws in the towel for you. Even going back to MJF himself throwing in a towel, circling back. And by the way, Jason Mitchell Haygood, thank you so much for joining us, by the way, Jason. Roger, Jericho took a heavy loss tonight, but again, I mean, his team was trying to save him, and he, for the most part, outside of that last few moments, he was doing pretty well. Does that still put him in the top 10?
Yeah, Jericho's killing it, man. And the whole crowd is behind the inner circle. How hateable was this group? And now everyone's behind them, man. Everyone's cheering for them. They came out with bicycles last week. They killed it this week. Like, it's phenomenal. And, you know, MJF had a great night. But everyone's just going to remember that Jericho got thrown off of a steel cage and he got the memorable moment of the night. He might not be happy with what Sammy Guevara did, but I think Jericho will be remembered after tonight.
You know, if I'm thinking to what you said, Flobo, you made a good point about it never ends really well when someone throws in the towel for someone else. But in a way, Jericho kind of deserves it. He kind of outcasted Sammy Guevara.
I mean, look, he totally deserves it, but I'm just saying, that's always a telltale sign. It's like when you watch a cop movie and someone's like, hey, what's his clue? Ah, don't worry about it.
That's true.
Did they get rid? I thought they said they – did he backstab Sammy Guevara?
During
yeah.
Not necessarily. He just sort of said – okay, goodbye. I'm going to be friends with MJF.
But didn't they say that it was all part of the plan? Am I missing something here?
I don't know.
No, you never missed. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's just, it has been overwritten, but that's kind of the thing.
Okay.
Has history and all that stuff. That's like a new one.
So, I mean, maybe that'll be the next thing that happens. Who knows? Maybe. I'd be down for a Sammy Guevara versus Chris Jericho match. I think that would be fun. Speaking of fun matches, at number eight, we have Britt Baker. Came in, dominated, didn't go for the pin when she could have, just to make the point so she could hit the lockjaw and win the way she wanted to. She beat an unranked opponent, but this gets her that momentum going into her big world title match against Hikaru Shida. Shout out Dylan Matthews. I know that you're Britt Baker's biggest fan. Flobo, she beats someone who's unranked, but a win is a win is a win, right?
Win's a win's a win in the women's division that needed a match to be featured to really keep that on top of mind. Hikaru Shida has been so dominant with that title, but everyone's been asking the same question. They've been tournaments asking the same question. There have been debuts asking the same question. Who's going to be the one to take that title off of Hikaru Shida? Right now it's Britt Baker, and she proved it tonight with – sidebar, like that lockjaw makes me cringe every time because she's a dentist. You're like, ah, gosh, it's crazy. But that's great. That makes me want to feel something when she comes out. So definitely, that brain's definitely warranted.
Roger, the DMD at number eight. Do you like it?
I do like it. I feel like we're on our way to seeing the first AEW pay-per-view headlined by a women's championship match.
Really?
Britt Baker is hot property right now. She is killing it. And everyone's behind her. I mean, we were complaining to you last week that she's not featured enough here. Like, Britt Baker has a loyal fan base behind her. Hikaru Shida has been killing it for a whole year. This is going to culminate in a classic match in a few weeks.
She knocks it out of the park every time. Every time. She's near flawless, whether it be promos, whether it be matches. She's great. She's everything you want. And it's so funny. When AEW started, we all knew she was going to be a centerpiece, but she's a centerpiece in a way we never expected. And I love it. And I'm here for it. And I'm happy for her. And I'm glad I put her there.
Also, I called her hot property. I would say a hot commodity, but I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. That is, I'm glad you clarified that. Very important. At number 9, we have Sean Spears. Showed real intelligence coming in with the steel chair, and during the match did a lot to remind us of why he was such a big signing for AEW in the first place. His balance on the ropes being a real highlight for me, especially for someone his size, and showed again he should be featured more heavily in the future. Flobo, I know you're a big fan of Sean Spears. Going back to before his AEW days, is he earning a spot in your heart in AEW?
I guess I'm always going to be bullish on a little bit of Sean Spears. So taking it back to when he was Gavin Spears on the former WWE CW brand. Again, much like Wardlow, I think that a lot of problems with talent is having that start, stop, and go. So today was very good. I think if you're just in the void, I think it's a good idea that he was on the slot, on the spot. But Pinnacle has not told me how this individual, Sean Spears, is going to have his own lane. And it has a very small window to do that before he becomes the other guy in the group.
That's fair. Real quick, Jason, Anna Jay, I believe, is injured right now, which is why she hasn't been on TV. Again, I'm not a journalist, so I don't know the details of that. But from what I understand, she's hurt right now. Roger, great promo last week from Sean Spears. Solid showing in this match. Are you ready for more Spears?
I was laughing at your joke. Not that Anna Jay was injured, by the way. Okay. But...
But that you do want to clear up, by the way.
I think Sean Spears is the least worthy wrestler to be featured in this match. You know, he tries his best. Good for him. And I wish him the best. And I think he did a great job showing what he can contribute. I don't know if he goes more beyond today. So go ahead, give him his props today, because I don't know if he'll ever be back on this list again.
Flobo, is that you? Jeez.
Wow. Yeah, what happened? The blood and guts got to Roger here this week. Flobo,
and I have the gimmick.
Do you want to defend Sean Spears?
Look, Sean Spears did not have the best trajectory here in AEW, but he's a proven talent, a proven hand. Like, charisma is one of those things that you need a little bit of crack, a little bit of opportunity to make that happen, and he totally did. And I feel like with Pinnacle, it could be a chance. But I know, Roger, you hate Pinnacle to begin with. So you're not even with that. So I'm not sure this is even going to apply to you.
And I only cheer for one chairman, and that's La Parca, baby.
Yeah, you got...
That's what that got me.
I'll stand by that. The chairman, La Parca. Number 10, it's Anthony Ogogo. Walked in looking great with the suspenders. He's one of those guys, though. He dresses great, but then you try to copy it and you look stupid.
He looks stupid.
No, he looked great. Walked in and hit the gut punch, putting Cody down for a second time. He's still very new to the roster, but he understands that wrestling is like prison. And if you want to survive, then day one, you have to take out the top guy. And that's what he's doing. Roger, did you like Anthony Ogogo going after Cody Rhodes?
First off, the fact that Sammy Guevara is not on the list today, good Lord. But second of all, I haven't seen British villainy this intense since Bridgerton episode 3. My goodness, he came in hard. He came in hard, delivered a British invasion punch, and put the whole country on notice. Oh, go.
Yeah, Bridgerton coming in hard. Flobo, do you like the Bridgerton reference?
Do I like British villainy also? I have no idea.
I just burn for you.
I don't get it. I don't. And I know that you and him are friends, so this will be clipped out because you're probably coming after me. I don't want that to happen. But to me, it does feel like he's playing Street Fighter 3 character Dudley, right? The British guy with the boxing gloves, the high-class thing. A gut punch does not work in wrestling because we punch all the time. Now, I know in wrestling is an open-hand punch, but we tried heart punches. They don't work. We try the power of the punch, but that was a brass knuckle set. Only the Big Show, because his hand is a mallet, makes sense to a finishing move. And well, Cody Rhodes doubled down and got the British flag draped on him, because now was that like the immigration office? Yeah. I have no idea what that was.
Guys, it was weird. We haven't seen the British flag used in a villainous way like this in a long time. Like, that's crazy.
I'm loving it. I love it because, look, let's call it like we see it. We're Americans, and us Americans, we get all hot and bothered when someone brings their flag over here for some reason. So I think it works. I think it's great. I like what they're doing, especially over a guy who goes by the name the American Nightmare.
Yes, thanks for explaining it to me. I had no idea. But what I'm saying is, it just seems very cartoonish. And this is supposed to be this reality thing of this like blood feud, this just split family. The moment be like, ha ha ha, I put you in the gut, see? Here's his nightmare. Like, come on.
Hey, but look, he's an Olympian.
He's not like twirling his mustache by tying him to a train tracks.
It feels like he's twirling his mustache. He's wearing suspenders, doing the one punch. It just, yeah, it feels like he's a vaudevillain. Really, a British vaudevillain.
I get the vibe more than anything that he's just going after the top guy to assert himself. As far as the flag stuff goes, I think it's great for us to get to learn who he is. When you're first introducing someone, especially someone that doesn't have the independent scene background to lean on, you've got to give us something to immediately grab onto to know what he is. And I think he's done that. He's the British boxer. Like, I get it. I can watch him for 5 minutes and go, I get what they're trying to get across with him. And so for me, it works. And now I want to see if he can do it in a match against one of the best of all time.
I want to see him even be more cartoony. Like, I want him to come out with a British bulldog. I want him to come out with some tea and crumpets. I want him to attack Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Just go all out, man.
They're just like walking down the street and he gut punches them.
He splashes, I went to a different show. What is going on over here?
He splashes like a very small cup of tea on someone. Like, it barely gets him wet. It's
just like, oh. Wow. Well, forget what I said then.
I'm sorry, Flava.
Yeah. Oh, man. So anyways, we're almost done. So it's time for the last part of the show. It's called Farmer's Market, and I call it Farmer's Market because my name is Jack Farmer, but I treat it like it's the stock market.
Sure,
where
goodness.
You buy
every week he does this.
The wrestler now before it goes up. Also, it's a fresh new pick, like a fresh new farmer's market. Funny side note, when I went and got the vaccine, they had a farmer's market right outside of where I was getting the vaccine, which was nice, but also felt like a very strange combination of things together. Anyways, that's Southern California for you, folks. There's farmer's markets everywhere you go.
I got mine at Walmart.
So the opposite of a farmer's market.
I got mine at a parking lot in Crenshaw. It's a true story. I'm letting me know that.
Are you sure that needle was a vaccine?
Yeah, that's what I said.
So this week's farmer's market pick, the person that who I think their stock is going to rise quickly is Maddie Rynkowski. She teamed up with Nyla Rose before the Native Beast turned her back on her and attacked Maddie last week. That led to a match this week between Maddie and Nyla. And it didn't go Maddie's way, but she was able to get in some great offense. And if she's making a big enough impression to have Vicky Guerrero and Nyla Rose's attention, then she damn well better have our attention as well. So if you're going to buy stock in a wrestler, this is the person whose stock you want to buy, because it will likely be going up very soon. There you go. That's the show.
That's been called the Farmer's Market because his name is Zach Farmer and he's like picking a wrestler. Like a piece of produce.
Half the show is me explaining Farmer's Market and just beating a dead horse on how it works.
So my name is Jack Farmer.
So Farmer's Market. It's the most clever thing I've ever come up with. I'm very proud of it, clearly. But before we wrap up, just real quick, Roger, Flobo, anyone I left out? I know Sammy Guevara's name was mentioned. I think that's a fair omission to mention, but anyone else or anything you guys want to add in?
I like the parental discretion. I just want to say, like, can we do that more often? It makes me feel dirty, like I'm about to watch something I'm not supposed to.
Yeah, I liked it too. And also, for some reason that happened, I was like, oh, it's going to get bad.
Oh, like- yeah.
Yeah. You're in the making. I want to say that I'm after the 1 week hiatus, I'm just so glad we went to the end of the show with not one piece of Christian slander. It warmed my heart.
He's got to show up to work to be
ruined. It. We were good, and now you ruined it. You see, I can't work like this. I can't.
The only thing Christian did on this episode was get torn to shreds by Taz on how bad he is.
I don't listen to Taz anyway. He can't even get in the building half the time.
That's fair too. But at least he has an excuse.
Whatever.
All right. Whatever. Let's. You've stayed your hour. Let's wrap this up. Roger, where can the world find you online?
Find me on YouTube, Roger Talks Wrestling.
And Flobo Boyce.
I got a bunch of projects. Find out more about that at newamsterdam.com. That's KNEW amsterdam.com.
And you can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can also check me out talking about Raw for Wrestling Inc. every Monday. You can check me out on the Anytime Radio Show. You can check me out on Draping Gold, the Everything Tournament, or Championship Wrestling from Hollywood every weekend on Fight TV, YouTube, and KDOCLA. That does it for us. And until next week, folks, as always, do your best and be yourself.